Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Yaakov Avinu, when he was about to meet his brother Esav after a lapse of so many years, prepared himself for three different things: l'doron, v'l'tfila, u'l'milchama. And the Ramban quotes the Medrash Rabbah that whenever the Tanoim had to go negotiate with the Roman government, they would learn through the Parsha of Vayishlach in order to gain some insight to see how we're supposed to deal with the non-Jewish world. So how exactly are we supposed to deal with the world? So the Parsha tells us, you don't start off with the Muhammad, you start off with Dorun and Tfilah. And then if need be, then you have to wage war, but then you try to do Doron first. Obviously. We're not warmongers. Why did he need the whole thing? What was the whole issue of the Doron Tfilah Tatsuka and the Muhammad? Because the Pasuk says, Vayira Yakim Yod Vayetzalot, he was very frightened. What was he frightened about? But the Medrash, the Rishonim quote the Medrash that he was very concerned that his brother Esav probably has two zchuyot that he didn't have. That all of those 22 years that he was away from the father, he was away from Eretz Yisrael, he was lacking the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. His brother was living in Eretz Yisrael. Esav Arusha, with all the riches, was living in Eretz Yisrael. And Esav was there by the father, so he was helping out the father. He was in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. Yaakov was lacking these two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. So he was afraid that maybe the schus of Yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael and the schus of the mitzvah of Kibud Av would count for his brother, and the brother would win if there would be a war between the two of them. The Maril Diskin points out that the whole thing was baloney. The Medrash says that this is an exaggerated paranoia. That Yaakov Avinu had Lamaisa, the Pesukim say before that Esav left Eretz Canaan. He wasn't taking care of the father, he wasn't living in Eretz Canaan, he was living in Eretz Edom. And when Yaakov sent the Malachim, he said they should go meet his brother. So they went originally to Eretz Yisrael, they looked around, he wasn't there. So the Pesukim says, Esav Ochav Ad Shaseir Sdei Edom. They realized he's not in Eretz Yisrael, the whole thing is a fake. That's a lot of times the big problem. We have to learn from the mistakes of, we have to learn from what the others did, we have to learn from the mistakes of the others also. In fact, the Balei HaTosfos quote a Medrash over here that Yaakov was so petrified of Esav. In the middle of the night, he figured he's going to send the matana to his brother Esav, and in the middle of the night he's going to run away. He was planning on running away, and the Malach prevented him from running away. The Medrash says that the reason why the Malach succeeded in breaking his leg temporarily was as a punishment for his paranoia because he was running away. The Baruch Shalom promised him that he's going to be with him. He shouldn't have been afraid. That's a big problem. The Rebbeinu Shlom gives us a haftacha. The Nevi'im gave us promises, and we don't care for those promises. In Medina Yisrael today, we have haftachas from the Rebbeinu Shlom on something. We have haftachas on everything. We have haftachas on some things, and the government in Eretz Yisrael is exaggerating the sakana that they have from the PLO and from the Arabs, like Yaakov Avinu. And Rahman al-Islam, we shouldn't be punished because of this. Rashi quotes the Lashon from the Medrash, Vayira Yakim Yod Vayetzalo. Why the Kefa Lashon? Vayira Vayetzalo. He was afraid and he was concerned. It's the same thing. So Rashi quotes from the Midrash, Vayira Shema Yehareg. He was afraid lest he would get killed. Vayetzalo Yaharoku Ezacherim. He was concerned that he may have to kill other people. So all of the Balei HaTosfos are bothered with the kasha, the different collections of the Balei HaTosfos, they all have the same kasha. What are you afraid of? So dainty. If the other guy's out to kill me, habo lahargo, hashkim lahargo. So what do you have to be afraid that he may have to kill someone else, they kill someone else? So it's in self-defense. What's the problem? So some of the Balei HaTosfos say, they give different suggestions. Some of the Balei HaTosfos say that Vayetza lo shema yargas acherim means he was afraid he would have to kill his brother Esav, and the mother had already said, and Parshas told us, Loma eshkal shnechem. How did the Parshas say? Loma eshkal shnechem. Gam shnechem yom echad. She was afraid that they would both kill each other. He was afraid they would both die on the same day. So Rashi there quotes the Medrash that that's what happened indeed, that when Yaakov Avinu died and the children were taking him from Eretz Mitzrayim back to Eretz Yisrael, and it was a negotiation that whether he had the right to be buried in Maaret Machpelah. So then Esav was killed in And on the same day as Yankov's funeral, Leisa was killed. Taka both died at the same time. So some Rishonim say that that's the pshat over here. Yireyak miyoy, shema yehareg. He was afraid that he may get killed. By Yetzalah, he may have to kill his brother, in which case he's going to die also. But that's why it says, by Yetzalah. He was concerned. He wasn't concerned about the brother. If he's going to kill the brother in self-defense, that's not a problem. But by Yetzalah, he was concerned that in case he has to kill the brother in self-defense, then the mother's nevuah will be fulfilled. The mother saw the nevuah that they're both going to die about the same time. That's what they quote, the Balei Tosis quote such a pshat. And Yiddish folklore, they say over from one of the Gdolim that he had a different shot. But the Gemara says in the end of Masechet Horius, on the last half in Horius, that the two Tanoim, Rab Nosson and Rab Meir, both ganged up against Rabbi Gamliel. They wanted to kick him out of the Nesiyas. He was the chief rabbi. So they wanted to show the other Rabbanim that he wasn't such a great Tanis Kolim. He didn't know how to learn so well. So they were going to ask him something in Uptin, they were going to catch him, and then they were going to embarrass him in public and appoint a different chief rabbi. And then the Gemara tells the whole story, the way their plot was foiled. So the Gemara says, but as a punishment for the attempt to be mevazer Rabbi Gamliel in public, so from that time on, they never quote Rabbi Meir by name. You have a lot of times in the Gemara, Rabbi Meir's opinions are quoted. So Tosfos says that's from before that incident. And from that time on, whenever Rabbi Meir had something to say, he's quoted as Acherimani. And Rabbi Nosson is always quoted as Yeshanim. That was the punishment, that they quoted anonymously as opposed to being quoted by name. Gemara says that if you have a big Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't act properly, so the Gemara says in Masechet Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, that you're not allowed to say Yavid Divrei Torah in his name. Because there's something wrong with him. Even if the Divrei Torah are good, but if there's something wrong with him, he's not conducting a mitzvah or something like that, so then if he's not balanced, even if he is the Mdaktik Mitzvah, he's not exactly balanced, so then the Gemara says, you don't say over Divrei Torah Bishma. So that's why over here, after this incident of Rab Meir and Rab Nosson's attempt to be Mevazet, to publicly humiliate Rab Gamliel, so from that time on, they don't say over Bishma. So that's what the Velt says, Pshat. That's what the European Jews know that verbal. That it says, Vayetza lo Shema Yaragu et Acherim, maybe he'll kill Rab Meir. That's what it means. The Loshen HaMelech. Rav Meir is known as Achim. Rav Meir was the Gemara says in one place that Rav Meir was a descendant of Gerim. He came from Gerim, who had originated from Esav. So not so much that he was afraid that he's going to kill Esav, but if he's going to kill his brother, but what he was afraid, what he was concerned about was if he's going to kill Esav, so Rav Meir is going to be a descendant of Esav, won't come into existence. Interesting, where did Yaakov Avinu get the idea of Ayachat Sasama Sherito the Shnei Machanos? Where did he get this idea to divide up the people into two different groups? And Yavo Yisrael Machna Achas V'Hikol V'Hoya Machan Esho L'Kleito? Not such a deep idea. What's the question? What does he have to get it from? That was his plan. So one of the Balei HaTosis, I think they quote Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. What I think in the name of Rabbi Racha said that he understood that that's what the Malachim were trying to be Meramis to him. On his way to Chutz Lortz, it says that there was a Machane Elekimze. He saw a Machane of Malachim. On the way back, it says Machano Ayim, plural. There were two Machano. So he understood that there must be some reason why the Malachim divided themselves up into two groups. Originally, when he was going to Chutz Lortz, he saw only one group of Malachim. Why are they now two groups? He was thinking, and he understood that they must be Miram or something to him, that just like they divided into two groups, he should split up his family into two groups. So he understood, oh, that's the Yetzer. That's the way to protect himself from Esav. Yavo Esav, Amach Nachas V'Yiko, Oya Amach HaNeshul Echleishem. That's the Pashup Shach and what Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid said. And then the Balei HaTosis quote that there was some later Balei HaTosis who reinterpreted what Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid meant, that he said that the Malachim, I don't know what this means. The first I understand, he saw the Malachim were divided now, the same group of Malachim that he saw originally, were in one group and now in two groups. So that I understand that he took it as a remez how he should act in the immediate future, when he's about to have his encounter with Esau. The later Balatesis said that's not what Rabbi Yochasan meant. They quote after some Balatesis from Russia. I didn't know there were Balatesis from Russia. They quote in their Sefer Moshev's Kingdom. There's different collections of Balatesis on the land. So they quote that some Rabbeinu Eliezer in Russia, somebody like that. Maybe it's not Russia, maybe it's a city in France. Whatever it is, that he said no, that the remez of the Malachim was that Malchus Yisrael will be split in the days of Rechavam. What is Mayish Mita Yisrael HaKsina? What has it got to do with anything? So the Malachim are meramis to him that Klal Yisrael is going to be split. The Pasha of Rabbi Yochasan says in this Pasuk that Yaakov Avinu learned this trick from the Malachim to divide his group into two machnas. Tavar HaMincha Alpanef, he prepared this whole matana for his brother Esau. So it says, Batavar HaMincha Alpanef. Rashi has a comment in the name of the Medrash, Alpanef, Afu Shori Bikas, Shohayat Tzorach Lachoseh. He was also angry. Afu Shori Bikas Hayah, Shohayat Tzorach Lachoseh. Alpanav is Miloshan Ab, anger. The question is, why does Rashi say he was also angry? Who was the other person who was angry? Some of the Meforshim on Rashi write that there should really be a period here. It says, Batav Amincha Alpanav, Afu, period, Miloshan Af. It doesn't mean he too was angry. Gamhu, Afu doesn't mean Gamhu, it means Vayicharapo. So the Rashi should read, Batav Amincha Alpanav, Afu, period. And then the comment is, Shari Bikasa Ya, Shari Tzorach Lachoseh. He was angry, but it doesn't mean there was no one else who was angry. Yankel was the only one who was angry. I think one of the Rishonim, if I'm not mistaken, one of the Rishonim has that. Yeah. Pardon me? Not necessarily. I don't know. Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Shulai Diskin has an interesting comment. He says that Le'olam Esav was 22 years later. Esav wasn't angry anymore. And Yaakov Avinu came back because Rivka said, when your brother will stop being angry, then I'll let you know. And then the Medrash said, Rashi quotes in the Medrash that she sent a Dvora Menachas Rivka. She sent Dvora to notify Yaakov that he should come back, that Esav is not angry anymore. So Esav is not angry anymore. But Yaakov Avinu made these extra precautions. He was so nervous and he started giving matanas, and there's no need for this. The Medrash condemned Yaakov Avinu for chafening his brother too much. He shouldn't have given him the matanas. He should have just gone his own way. The mother said, come back. There's no chashash takana. So Yaakov Avinu sent Malachim to Esav to appease him with the whole shtick. That's when Esav got angry at him again. That's how Rabbi Sholev Diskin interprets the Midrashim. Otherwise, if it's a machlokes in the Midrashim, could be the machlokes. You have a lot of times machlokes. But if it's the Midrashim, the Medrash that Rashi quotes later says that Rivka sent a message to Yaakov that he should come back, that the coast is clear, that he shouldn't be afraid. Baruch Shalom gave him a haftoche, and he got all the, like in Eretz Yisrael today. The Israeli military says there's no problem, and the American military say there's no problem, that the Medina Sassol should just maintain all the territories and they should just shoot to kill when they have any trouble from the Intifada, and they don't do it, and they're nervous, and they're negotiating with the enemy. What do they have to negotiate? If all the military say there's nothing to worry about, then you're secure. So you're secure. So proceed like any normal person. If you act like an insecure person, so of course the enemy is going to see that you're weak, so they're going to get angry again. They're going to see that they can succeed if they give you a hard time. The pasuk says that in the previous parasha that he had already 12 children, 11 sons and one daughter, and then the 12th son was Binyamin, was born later in today's Sedra. And the pasuk here says in today's Sedra that he was taking over taking the whole family and crossing them over a river. And it says that he only took his 11 children. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, why did he only take 11 children? He had 12 children. Why didn't he take all 12 children? Rashi quotes in the Medrash, V'dina hechen hoisa. And the Bereshit said, where was Dina? Where was Dina? There were 12 children. How come he only crossed over 11? So the Velta is Takasha, and who says that Dina was one? So Rashi gives the whole explanation. Who says that Dina was one? Maybe Reuben. Maybe Reuben was somewhere else. Maybe Shimon was somewhere else. How do you know that it's Dina? Achar asa yiladav. It doesn't say v'hayalda shalom. How do you say if you have, let's say, it was 10 sons and one daughter, and another son was somewhere else. Another son was Miluim, whatever. He was somewhere else at the time. So how are you going to say it in Hebrew? As achar asar. You're going to say asara yiladav v'hayalda ha'yichida bas yichida shalom. Achar asar yiladav. There's 11 children. So what then? How does he know? That's what they ask. How does the Medrash know to ask the question of Dina Hechen Hoysen? So they quote the famous comment in the name of the Vilna Gaon that everybody talks about. That the Medrash says, the Gemara has this Medrash also, that why was the Beis HaMikdash built to Chelka Shol Binyamin? Because Binyamin was the only Shevet who didn't bow down to Esau. He wasn't born yet. That's why he didn't. Maybe if he would have been born, he would have bowed down also. But Lamaisa, he didn't bow down to Esau. So that's what the Vilna Gaon asked. Why was the Beis HaMikdash Nibna B'chelka Shol Binyamin? He was the only one who didn't bow down. But it says that there were only 11 children were there. And one of the children was missing. So whoever was missing, why didn't they build the Beis HaMikdash B'chelka? If it was Reuben, or Shimon, or Yehuda, or Yisachar, or Zvon, whatever. So it must be that the one who was missing was Dina. She didn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael anyway. Only the Shvatim, only the sons got a chelik. The daughters didn't get a chelik. So that's how the Medrash knew that it was Dina who was missing. Because of the other Medrash. That the only one of the sons who didn't bow down was Binyamin. So that's what Rashi asks Taka, the Dina Hechem Hoysa. Where was Dina? She was in Miluim. Can be. No gears bonus. How can it be? Where was Dina? So Rashi quotes the famous Medrash. The son of the Teva Venor Bechanev. He put her in a box and he locked it up. She leithen bo Esa Venor Belkachna and Ashyankib Shemino Miyochiv Shemitach Sirena Lamuta Menofla Biyad Shechem. It's really a principle in education. It's a delicate issue when you have children, or when a yeshiva has students, when any institution has students that they want to be mashpiyan. So they can't be too strict with the students. If they give them only one way, this is the one way you have to go. So it's understood that the children will have to have a little breathing room, have to have a little leeway to do a little bit differently than the way is recommended. But if you give them too much leeway, you present everything to them, from A to Z, everything. So that's ridiculous. That's not chinuch. Chinuch means you have to show them the right way. Within not the thin line, you have to show them a wide range. And anything within this range is acceptable. You can't be too thin and it can't be too wide. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Hirsch, in one place in his commentary on Chumash, says that the word chinuch, maybe it's in his book on education, he has essays on education. He says that the word chinuch, that's what he always says, that you have a shorish in Hebrew has three letters. So he says basically the shorashim have two letters. So he takes every shorish that has three letters and he makes it, this is daimit to another shorish that has three letters because the third letter doesn't really count. It's basically the same two. It's chidish, putting it mildly. So he says that the word chinuch is basically the same word as chenek, choke. You have to choke the children. You have to choke the students. Why? You have to. A good part of chinuch is to restrict their intake, not of oxygen, but to restrict their intake of information. That you don't expose them to everything. What you expose them to everything is terrible. So what are you showing them? You have to show them all the tumas ha'olam hazeh. You have to show them all the kruma hashkafas that everybody has. But you can't just show one very thin line. So there's no room for the person to have his. Individuality. So here, Yaakov Avinu was a little too strict with his daughter. You have a lot of times like that. People have children, and they live in New York, and they don't want to expose their children to all kinds of wild notions. So they send them to a base Yaakov or whatever, a yeshiva, and has to be very strict and very, very strict. And then the children are not prepared for that, such a strict chinuch. And then when they rebel, so they go in Gansen way away from what the parents would have wanted them. Sometimes it's unrelated. Sometimes it would have rebelled anyway. And often the case is that if the parents would have been a little easier with the children, they would have had a little more leeway, so the children wouldn't feel the need to rebel. There's a little room to move. So here, that's what the Medrash is bringing out, that because Yaakov Avinu was so over concerned, he was so over cautious on his daughter, that he put her in a box and he nailed the box. Had to nail the box because he thought, so he could have hit her. He could have had her dressed up in an ugly dress and with her hair down and look awful. So of course his brother is not going to be interested in an ugly little girl. So the fact that he went overboard, he went too far, so that's why it turned out it backfired and it had the negative effect. Nafla b'yad Shem. The Bali Musa say, "Umin azahirus." Part of the zahirus, part of being cautious, is shelali hizor yoytemidai, not to be over cautious. Sometimes a person is over cautious; it doesn't get anywhere. A person is afraid. The Sukkim and Mishlei describe the Otzel, says like that. He's afraid. Oh, he doesn't want to go to, let's say, someone saying a shir a few blocks away. He's afraid to go. They may mug him. He may get run over by a car. He may maybe a traffic jam. 1,000 terutzim. So that's being over cautious. A person has to be cautious, and he shouldn't be over cautious. He shouldn't go to the extreme in either direction. And that's very, very difficult to know in every generation and in every community what's considered b'derech hamamutza. What's considered not cautious enough and what's considered over cautious. And as the generations keep on, as we see, from one year to the next, we live in a community, we live in a world with more and more priests. A person has to be more cautious for himself and for his children. The pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu was fighting with this mysterious person, and the Haftarah says that it was an angel. And the Chumash never says, huh? It never says it was an angel. The Haftarah says it was an angel. Mashma. And the angel broke his leg, but it's a little unclear. So who won the fight? Did Yaakov Avinu win the fight, or did the angel win? So it's really a little unclear from the Chumash, but in the Haftarah it says that Yaakov won the fight. The angel broke his leg, but Yaakov won the fight basically. What is this what is the symbolism involved over here? So the Radak in his commentary on Chumash, the Radak has, by the way, a commentary on Chumash also, and his commentary on Navi explains that this is the Simen Ledavor, what the Talmud speaks of, that Ein Mazal Yisrael, that Bnei Yisrael are Lamayla Min Ateva, that there are different types of Malachim. The Gemara says in the beginning of the first Perek of Chulin, the Gemara has an expression, Ein Lecho Kaleisa V'yesev Malmato. Every blade of grass that grows on the earth has a malach malmaila, ein lechokaleis malmata, shein la malach malmaila, hamaka osa v'yomalo gadel. Every blade of grass has a malach who hits it and instructs it that it should grow. So that's one type of malach, the malachim who take care of teva, they take care of nature, that nature should continue to function the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the system in Sheshis Mebres. And you have different kinds of malachim. So the Radak claims that that's the meaning of this incident, that when Yaakov, representing Klal Yisrael, fights with a Malach that represents Teva, so Klal Yisrael is l'mal men ha-Teva. We win. It doesn't mean that each and every individual Jew is going to win. It means that the Klal Yisrael as a nation, as a whole, is l'mal men ha-Teva. And the Ramban HaChumash in several places stresses this notion, and he considers this a great Iker and our Amunah, based on psukim, various psukim in Chumash, that whereas all the other nations of the world are subject to shlitas hakachovim v'hamazalos, Klal Yisrael is l'mayla min ha-teva. What exactly does that mean? So the pashup shot seems to be the following, that just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in Sheshis Mei Breshis, he instituted principles of chemistry and physics and mathematics and astronomy and so on, so too he instituted principles of history that govern all of the nations of the world. And every nation, if you understand what the principles of history are and you see what's happening, you can analyze it properly, so you can predict exactly what's going to happen in the next 50 years. You can predict the rise and fall of any given nation, except for Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael is not tachashlita sakachovim v'hamazolos, means that we are not subject to any of the rules and regulations of history. Klal Yisrael, the Pesukim say, if we observe the laws of Shemitah, so then we maintain Eretz Yisrael. If we don't worship Abizar, if we violate the laws of Shemitah, we lose Eretz Yisrael. So Ramban says, does that make any sense? That if you observe the laws of Shemitah, then you keep Eretz Yisrael on you. If you violate the laws of Shemitah, you lose your right to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't make any sense at all. The Derech HaTeva, what, that's one of the rules and regulations of history? He says, no, that's the Haichafa, the Klal Yisrael al-Amad min HaTeva. That's what it means, Ein Mazel L'Yisrael. So that's the symbolism of this parasha, that when Yaakov Avinu, representing Klal Yisrael, has a conflict with the Mala, which represents Teva, Klal Yisrael wins. Klal Yisrael is l'mala min HaTeva. And then the pasuk says that because of this incident, our king liyachem bnei Yisrael is gidan oshem. That's why we don't need the gidan oshem. What exactly does that mean in pasuk lamed gimel? Our king, therefore. What do you mean therefore? So some rishonim, the rishonim have two pshatim on this. The Baal HaTosfos have two pshatim. You find a lot of ideas appear in several of the collections of the Baal HaTosfos. They all say the same thing. They're written by different people, but they apparently had various traditions. Even though a lot of this doesn't appear in midrashim, they must have had oral traditions. So some of the group of Baal HaTosfos say, Al-Kain, in order to remember this Ness, in order to remember this principle, this Iker, in our Emunah, that Ein Mazel Yisrael, that's why we don't need to get on Asher, which will remind us of this story. We should remember this Klal. Other Rishonim learn, Al-Kain Liyachon Eisos Gid on Asher means a different shot, as a kapara for not having taken care of the father. The father was Mag, the old man, he was in his 80s already. Yaakov Avinu was an old man, and he had 11 sons and one daughter, and he was carrying these heavy packages and the light packages. It says by Yivasa Yaakov Levado, and Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Chulin that Levado was Pachim Tanim, and he had so many children, they should have helped him carry all the stuff, and because no one helped him, they let the old man, they all went to sleep, and they had the old man schlep everything. So because they violated Kibbut Aviyim, that's why this fellow came and he mugged them. That's why he was beaten up by the Malach. If his children would have been with him, they would have jumped the guy. He would have jumped this stranger, and he wouldn't have had a chance to break Yaakov Avinu's legs. So as a kapara for not having fulfilled Kibbut Aviyim, even though later on everything healed, the sun rose and then he got better and everything was okay, but still he was suffering for a while. So to remember the fact that they were mezalzel and the mitzvah Kibbut Av, so that's why some say they accepted upon themselves as a kapara. They accepted upon themselves not to eat the Gidan Asher. And they point out that there are two girsas in the Targum Munkulis on Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Akein layechlum b'nei Yisrael, that's what it says in this edition, in the Torah Tmima edition. Akein layechlum b'nei Yisrael, akein layechlum b'nei Yisrael. And there's another girsa, akein layochlin b'nei Yisrael. So if you have the girsa layechlum, it means that therefore the Jews are forbidden to eat. It's a loshon tzivui. Lo yochlum b'nei Yisrael. Therefore, the Jews may not eat Gidan Asher. Lo yechlum, may not eat. If you have the girsa akein in the Targum Onkelos, Loi Ochlin B'nai Yisrael, so it's a description of a Sipra Maisa. Okay, Loi Ochlin B'nai Yisrael. And B'nai Yisrael refers to the children of Yaakov Avinu. It's for that reason that Yaakov Avinu's children didn't eat the Gidan Asher. It doesn't necessarily mean that they were prohibited to eat Gidan Asher. So why is it written in the Chumash? Because at later generation, after Matan Torah, the Rabban Shalom told us that we're not allowed to eat the Gidan Asher. But B'shas Maisa was written to say that they were makabel upon themselves. So Rishul Leibniskin points out, we shouldn't already have part of it, Rishul Leibniskin has the rest of it. He says that the Mishnah in Chulin has a machleg zabiyun in the Rabbanon. When was the Pashup Shat, the way Rashi, the way Tosfos learns on that Mishnah, when was the mitzvah of Gidan Asher given? The Rabbi says that it was given right away, Bishas Maisa. It was given to the children of Yankiv. And the Rechachamim say no, that the story is written here, and Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Ken Liyachon Eisos Gidan Asher, means it was given after Matan Torah. That's the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah. The Rambam learns differently, but that's how Tosfos learns the Mishnah. So Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin says that the two readings in the Targum Onkelos are really dependent on the two opinions in the Tanoim. But if you say like Rabbi Yudah that Gidan Asher was forbidden already at that time, so then you have to be Al-Kain Lo Yechlum Bnei Yisrael. Then a Yankif are not permitted to eat Gidan Asher. But if you say that at that time they were not forbidden to eat Gidan Asher, the prohibition only began later, so then you can read the pasuk Al-Kain Lo Yechlum Bnei Yisrael Gidan Asher, the children of Yaakov Avinu It's a Sifra Maisa, accepted upon themselves, not the Ikir Anosh. So it's not really Goloshen Tzivui then, it's Goloshen Sifra Maisa. They didn't. Loi Ochlin, B'nai Yisrael is Gir Anosh. The Rambam has a completely different shot in that Mishnah, because the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim quotes the Medrash Rabbah. We spoke about it last week or 2 weeks ago. The Rambam quotes the Medrash Rabbah that says that Avraham Avinu was given, there were Sheish mitzvahs given to Adam Rishon, and then after the Mabul, Noach was allowed to eat meat. He was allowed to kill animals and eat meat, so then he was given the additional mitzvah of Eiv Me'achai, which didn't exist in the days of Adam Rishon. He wasn't allowed to eat any meat at all, the Gemara says. He was also Lechol Basa. So that's why they call the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, as opposed to Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Adam Rishon, because Adam Rishon was only given 6. And it only developed into 7 after the Mabul, when the 7th mitzvah, namely Yev Menachai, was given to Noach. That's how the Rambam writes. The other Rishonim are not so masking with that whole analysis. The Ran in Sanhedrin and the Sugya of B'nei Noach, it's not so 100% masking. When we say that Adam Rishon wasn't allowed to eat basa, means that he had to be a vegetarian, or means he wasn't allowed to kill animals. Let's say an animal would be Mesa Mela, he was also not allowed to eat it. So maybe if an animal would die by itself, that would be Mutter. But if an Eid Menachai would fall off from an animal, that would be Yosef. So maybe Eid Menachai was given to Adam Rishon. Who says that there's a Hechrech that Eid Menachai wasn't given to Adam Rishon because there was nothing to discuss? He had to be a vegetarian. So the Ran presents the two sheep. And if that's the way the Rambam writes. The Rambam says that to Eid Menachai there's nothing to discuss in the days of Adam Rishon because he had to be a vegetarian. And then it became 7 mitzvahs, 7 mitzvahs ben Noach after the Mabul, and then Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Milo and Yitzchak Yifrish Maisris, and Yankiv was Netzava and Gid Anoshe. So how does the Rambam call Yankiv Netzava Gid Anoshe? The Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanoim with an Afkamina Ledina, and we pask, and the Rambam paskens like the Chachamim derabiyu, that Gid Anoshe was only given a Har Sinai. So how does he quote this Medrash in Hilchos Machlokes HaSuras? He quotes the Mishnah in Chulin that Gid Anoshe was only given a Har Sinai. And then in Hilchos Malachim he quotes that Yankiv Avinu was given Gid Anoshe. So it doesn't jive, it's austere. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah is on that Mishnah, and Gid Anoshe has a long essay, and he explains his understanding of the Mishnah. He says everybody agrees. There's no machlokes how to translate the words like Rabbi Sholev Diskin said. What Rabbi Sholev Diskin said, that's how Taisus learns Pshat. That's the Pashup Pshat in the Mishnah. Machlokes HaTanaim is, when was the Issa Gid Anoshe given? So the Rambam has that this a different Pshat, not the Pashup Pshat. The Rambam says, of course it was given to the children of Yankov Avinu. Machlokes HaTanaim is, why do we today observe this mitzvah of Gid Anoshe? Is it because of the nevuah that was given to Yaakov Avinu, or is it because it was repeated at Matan Torah, and we pass like the Chacham Rab Yudah that the only reason why it's binding God Ayom Azeh is because it was repeated in Matan Torah? And he says the same is true regarding mitzvah Milo. We today don't observe Milo because it was given to Avraham Avinu. No, Tariyag mitzvahs nemalol Moshe Mistina. We observe all the mitzvahs made as it because they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, not because they were given to any other Nevi'im before or after Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the pasuk that the Gemara quotes on the first daf in Megillah. Eila mitzvahs Hashitzi, the last pasuk in Vayikra, the last pasuk in Bamidbar. The Mashur there on the first daf in Megillah has a discussion. Which pasuk is the Gemara referring to? The very last pasuk in the Chumash Vayikra, or the last pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar? They both pasukim say approximately the same. Eila mitzvahs Ashatil Hashem is Moshe Behar Sinai al Bnei Yisrael. So they both say roughly the same. And the Gemara has a drasha on the first daf in Megillah. The Gemara has a drasha. Eila is a miyud. These and only these. Eila mitzvahs mikan. From this passage we derive the principle she'ein novi rasha lechadish dova meyata. That the only one who gave mitzvahs that a noig ledoris, mitzvah means that it's noheges ledoris, is Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. Tariyak mitzvahs nemel ala Moshe Mitzinai. But anything that was given to anybody before or after Moshe Rabbeinu is only a Hayru Ashur. It cannot be a Din L'Doris. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was given Torah or Mitzvah. Torah Mitzvah means the things that are not L'Doris. So true Gid Anoshe, the Rambam claims, true Gid Anoshe was certainly given to Bnei Yaakov immediately after this fight with the Malach, but the binding power of the Mitzvah Gid Anoshe was only because of the fact that it was repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. And the same is true regarding Milo, that whatever was given to any other Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu may not necessarily be a Din L'Doris. It may only be a Hirosh Shor. But Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who's really given Torah U'mitzvah Din L'Doris. Now Soloveitchik has an Arichas on this in his Hesped for his uncle Rav Elvala. I think somebody spoke about that during Aseres Meitshuvah, the Torah Mada series. The ongoing series, Torah Mada. I don't know what the speaker said, but part of that Hesped that's printed, Rav Soloveitchik wrote it himself, part of the Hesped is on the Minchas Chinuch Kasha. The Mishnah in towards the end of Sanhedrin quotes a din from the Chumash. It says if a Novi comes and he tells me I should stand on my head now at 1:45, in the middle of Amsterdam Avenue on the corner, and I don't listen, I know he's a Novi, he proves that he's a Novi, and I don't listen, so the Torah says, Hoish, how does it say? Whoever will not listen, so it says that he's Anochi Ad Rosh Meimo. So the Mishnah says that one is Eirav Divrei Novi is Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with a kasha nu, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu told us we have to say Krishma Bismanoi, and we have to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMashpach and all the mitzvahs of Torah. So whoever does any Aveira is Eirav Divrei Novi, because Moshe Rabbeinu is a Novi. So what do you have to list off, a short list? Towards the end of Sanhedrin, the Gemara has around the Pedalid, a Tosefta, a short list of people. You have in the Mishnah a list of the people Achayv Skila, Elohin Aniskolin, Elohin Anisrafin, Elohin Anarogin, Elohin Anachnokin, Elohin Aloikin, who gets Malkus. And then you have in the first Mishnah in Krisis a listing of all of the Achayv Krisis, and the Tosef, they quoted in the Gemara Sanhedrin, and the Pedal lists off Elosheb Misa, the following people Achayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. And it's a brief listing, less than 15 people. So what do you have to give a list? Whoever violates any Aveira that's written in the Chumash, any mitzvah, any Aveira, anything. If you don't get up in time to say Krishma Bismani, you have Mizvah Shemayim, because Ayyub al Divinam, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, and he told us you have to say Kriyashma Bismana. How can that be? Anyone who does any slight Aveira, or anyone who talks Lashon Hara, or anyone who insults anybody, anyone who doesn't do Gmilas Chasodim, anyone who does any Aveira or violates any mitzvah in the Torah, is Chai Mizvah Shemayim, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. That's Minchas Chinuch's kasha. So the different suggestions, Minchas Chinuch gives a teretz, others give various teretz. And the generally accepted, the more popular teretz these days is the teretz that Rav Soloveitchik wrote. I don't know if he's the one who made this answer. It could be that he was the one who made it popular. It could be that others independently thought of it, but this appears now in different svarim. That Ho'ibra Divrei Novi Chai Nisud Eshamayim only applies if the binding force of the tzivui is b'toras nevuah. A novi tells me to stand on my head in the middle of Amsterdam Avenue at 1:45. Which one of the tayag mitzvahs is that? The answer is not one of the tayag mitzvahs. That's b'toras nevuah, b'toras harasha. But true, Moshe Rabbeinu is a novi. Moshe Rabbeinu tells all of us we're not allowed to talk lashon hara. We have to say krishma bizmana. We're not allowed to cheat on income tax and all the tayag mitzvahs are there. So if anyone does any slight avera, what is eibad divrei novi? No, Moshe Rabbeinu was a novi plus. He was a novi square. He's a novi to the third. To the third degree, to the fourth degree, whatever, it's higher than a Navi. Ayyubal Devi Navi doesn't mean whenever a Navi tells me something. When a Navi tells me something, Bataras Navur. But the things that Moshe Rabbeinu told us were Bataras Torah, not Bataras Navur. That was the lashon that Rav Soloveitchik said. We observe the mitzvah Satur Bataras Torah, not Bataras Navur. When you observe a Bataras Torah, it's a higher level, so then it's in Gans and Mufka from the parsha of Ayyubal Devi Navi. It has nothing to do. There were some things that Moshe Rabbeinu said Bataras Navi. He said, Abizas Mitzrayim. Everybody should knock on the next door neighbor's door and ask for matonah. So if anyone would violate that tzivui, that would be over. Al Divrei Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu told my Rosh, they should bring Pesach Mitzrayim. Pesach Mitzrayim is not a din l'doris. The din l'doris is you bring the korban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash and you don't sprinkle the blood on the Shteam Zuzos Ve'al HaMashko. Moshe Rabbeinu told them a din, Ishal Yetzim Mipesach Beis HaBoika. No one's allowed to leave the house all night long. That's a din l'doris. No, it's not a din l'doris. That's a Hirosh. So all of these Masechem Chagurim, Nalechem Beraglechem, Makelchem Yetzim, when they ate the Pesach Mitzrayim, they had to be all, they weren't allowed to wear their slippers and relax. No, they had to be Makelchem Yetzim, Nalechem Beraglechem. That's a Hirosh. That's not a din l'doris. So whoever would violate that would take to be over. Al Divrei Novi, Michai Misa Deshemai. That was a Hirosh. B'Toras Novi, B'Toras Nevu, and not B'Toras Pesach. So that's what the Rambam stresses, this notion that the only one who was given the mitzvah satara that in Noeg L'Doris was Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. That's what the Mishnah tells. That's the Yisoid. That's Machlekes Rav Yehuda in the Chachamim and the Mishnah. And we assume the din is like the Chachamim, that the binding force of the mitzvah of Mila that was given to Avraham Avinu, the mitzvah of Gidon Osher that was given to Yankov Avinu, is not the fact that it was Nizgala to them at Toras Nevuah. No. And it was only Ohei Rosho. It's because it was repeated, it was given against Moshe Rabbeinu later. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who had the full picture of the Torah. There's a difference between what's the difference just because this is temporary and this is permanent? That's the whole difference. No, it's a bigger difference than that. we assume that the collection of all of the mitzvahs HaTorah, all the Tariq mitzvahs, give us a picture of Elokus, give us a glimpse of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like. That's the Ramban and the Hakdama to Chumash, that Kol HaTorah Kulo, Shmois of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Torah is a description. Shem means a description of Elokus. So we assume that this description only consists of the Dini HaTorah that Anoig L'Dorus. The things that are Hayra, sure, that's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do this, wants you to do that, but that's not part of the picture of Elokus. That's not part of the description of Elokus. And the only one who was given a full description of Elokus was Moshe Rabbeinu. Usmunas Hashem Yapid, the Pasuk says. He saw a picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean? He saw the Baruch Shalom's picture? The Baruch Shalom's image? No. I mean, he was given the entire Torah. He was given Tariq Mitzvahs, Namalon Moshe Misina, which is a description of Elokus. In the second parak in Psochim, the Gemara presents a machloikis atanoim, where the Giran Asher is only also ba'achila, or it's even also ba'hano. The pasuk says, "Alkein lo yokelu b'nei Yisrael is Giran Asher." They're not allowed to eat. What about Isa Hano? So Rabbi Abo has a cloud. The Gemara has a machloikis amarim. Rabbi Abo, whose opinion we usually follow over here in the second parak in Psochim, has a cloud that kol mokim shenemay of lo yokelu sochlo sochlo echad Yisrael achila. Whenever it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat. So the Pashto says that it's not only an Isra Achila, it's an Isra Hanoah as well, unless it says, unless there's a Befeirush Arai that indicates that the thing is Mutar B'Hanoah. So the question is, what about Giran Asher? Is Giran Asher also B'Hanoah not? So it's a Machlokes HaTanoim, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. Reb Shimon holds that Giran Asher is also B'Hanoah, the Braisa. The one in the second pair of quotes. Reb Shimon holds also B'Hanoah, Reb Yudah holds that it's Mutar B'Hanoah. And where's the marker to support Rabbi Yudah's opinion that Giran Asher is Mutar B'Hanoah? So the Gemara suggests in the second Perek of Psachim that the Chumash tells us when you have a Nevela that in the, even though it says in the Chumash that Nevela Kol Nevela Lo Sachel, Nevela is also Bachil, but it's Mutar B'Hanoah. How do you know Nevela is Mutar B'Hanoah? Because it says that you're permitted to get Hanoah from it. So the Gemara has a comic, when the Torah says that Nevela is Mutar B'Hanoah, he bechelba v'gida hutra. Every part of the Nevela is Mutar B'Hanoah, not just the Besar HaNevela. The Chelav of the Nevela is also Mutar B'Hanoah. And the Giran Asher, every Nevela has a Giran Asher, so it's implied that the Giran Asher of the Nevela is also Mutar B'Hanoah. So from that pasuk we derive, when it says, Agerash HaRashachat Tanev HaChol HaMachol HaNoch, that Nevela is Mutar B'Hanoah, not only does it tell you the Heter Hanoah by Nevela, it tells you the Heter Hanoah by Giran Asher Shel Nevela. So maybe every Giran Asher is Mutar B'Hanoah. Giran Asher Nevela is Mutar B'Hanoah, and regular Giran Asher is also B'Hanoah. And Chelev is Mutar B'Hanoah. Everything is lined up in that pasuk. So the Gemara asks, Nusa, how can Reb Shimon disagree? How can Reb Shimon hold that that Giran Asher is also B'Hanoah? So the Gemara says, oh, the question is the following. There is a Machlekes HaTanaim in the Mishnah and Chulin around after Kufa, so. Whether Yesh begidden b'nai sitam or Rein begidden b'nai sitam, whether Giran Asher has tam basar, is it considered oichel, or it's begidden b'nai sitam, it's tasteless, it's considered ein roi l'achila sodom. So if Yesh begidden b'nai sitam, then Giran Asher is considered part of the Nevela. When it says that the Nevela Lagerish Avshachat Tnerva Achol Machol Anochi, that is Mutar B'Hanoah. What do you mean Nevela? Those parts of the Nevela that are called Nevela. Let's say the hooves of the Nevela. That's not called Nevela. It's not edible Bechlau. So the question is, what about the Gidim? What about the Giran Asher of a Nevela? So the Gemara makes this question. If you hold that Yesh B'Gidim B'Naisit Tam, the Gidim Aroy L'Achila and they're called Basar. So when the Torah says that the Nevela is Mutar B'Hanoah, so not only is the Nevela Mutar B'Hanoah, the Gid is also Mutar B'Hanoah. But if you all then the Gid Menai Sintam, Kshutra Nevela, Gid Aloy Hutra, Giran Asher was not included in the heaven. So the Gemara says that that's the Machlekes HaTanaim. Reb Shimon holds that Giran Asher is also B'Hanoah, because he holds that ain't the Gid Menai Sintam. So therefore Giran Asher was never included in the description of the Nevela to begin with. So therefore, Kshutra Nevela, when the Chumash tells us Nevela is Mutar B'Hanoah, it only tells you Nevela, it tells you Chelev is edible. So he the Chelev Bahutra, but Gido Loi hutra. The Gid Hanashim is not included in that statement when the pasuk says that Nevela is mutar banos, because the Gid Hanashim Nevela is not part of the Nevela. It's a separate thing. So that's what the difficulty that the Rishonim ask on the Rambam. The Chachmei Lunel asked the Kash on the Rambam. The Noisei Kelim on the Rambam quote. The Rishonim quote that Kasha. The Chachmei Lunel asked the Kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam passed. The Rambam is Mezakish Torah LeBeitrei. He passes that Ein Begidin B'Noisei Tam. That's the Maskonos HaGemara in Chulin around Daf Tzadik Tes or Daf Kuf. We should have led you to believe if Ein Begidin B'Noisei Tam, then Gid Hanashim is not included in the Vela. And nonetheless, he passes that Gid Hanashim is Mutabano. So that's the kasha. How can it be? Should it really pass that it should be osabano? So the Beis Yosef has a famous comment. He writes on Yeridei in Hilchos Gid Hanashe. He says that since the Rambam is really shveda, give terutzim. The Ramban has in the Tshuvas, Ramban has a teret, and others give terutzim. So the Beis Yosef writes on Yeridei that since the Rambam is really difficult and the din really should have come out lamaskane that Gid Hanashe is osabano. Because we paskin that the aim begin with ice and top, so it's not included in the veil, it's not called basa. It's eight be alma batay ras rasa. So that can be included in the pasuk that says that the sign of veil is mutabano. And especially the Zohar says that Giranosh is also bano, the Zohar paskin Giranosh is also bano. So the Beis Yosef says we should really be choshish for the Shitas HaZohar, because the Rama Meshver, and it should have come out like that, that the Giranosh should be also bano. So the Ramah writes in the Torah Chatos. The Ramah wrote a few svarim on Issa v'het. So the Torah Chatos, a sefer that's available in the stores, the Shach quotes on every page in Yeriday. So the Ramah writes in the sefer Torah Chatos, what did the Beis Yosef gain by quoting from the Zohar? Who do you think wrote the Zohar? Reb Shimon. So the Gemara quoted Reb Shimon. The Gemara quoted Reb Shimon, holds the Gid Hanashe Zosmano. So it doesn't make the argument any better just because Reb Shimon's opinion is quoted in two different places. It's quoted both in the Gemara and in the Zohar. Based on that, Reb Shimon holds that it's also bano. Anyway, that's the question: whether the Gid, in general, whether Gid Hanashe is mutabano or rasmano. The Mishnah the Gemara himself in the Mishnah Chulin says that it's mutabano. Gid Hanashe is mutabano. The Gemara says in Perek Gid Hanashe that only one part of the Gid is also, only that part that goes over the Kaf HaYorech. The rest of the Gid that comes from above that spot and below that spot, it's a Gid that goes mispashit b'chol hayerech, it's a sciatic nerve or whatever that spreads the whole length of the leg, but only that part of the Gid that goes on top of the Kaf HaYorech is also. That part of the Gid will often not have a kazayas. And nonetheless, the Gemara says in Chulin that if you eat that part of the Gid, that's also, the rest of it above and below is mutta. If you eat that part alone, if you have a big fat behemoth and it has so much Gid Hanashe that's on top of the Kaf HaYorech, you have three kazayas in there. So in order to get malchus, you don't have to devour the whole Gid Hanashe. If you eat a kazayas of Gid Hanashe, you also like it. But if you eat the entire Gid Hanashe and it doesn't have a kazayas, so the Gemara says you also like it because that has the status of a beria. That's the Gemara. It has the status of a beria. If a person eats a beria, a dava sholem, which it happens to be macholas asuris, even though it lacks a kazayas, you would be loike for that. The Mishnah says that the din of Gid Hanashe is only noig, the isa Gid Hanashe is only noig, the behem of bechayo, and not the yof. Why mipnei she ain lo kaf? The yof also has the same Gid Hanashe, has the same nerve. But it doesn't have kaf, and the only part of the Gid Hanashe that's also is asher ala kaf. Okay, like when it says Gid Hanashe, asher ala kaf ayarach, the yof doesn't have a kaf. So the Gemara says, what do you mean it doesn't have a kaf? Of course it has a kaf. If you have one, if you have the bottom bone that goes into the socket, goes into the top bone, that's the kaf. So that part of the Gid Hanashe goes in between the bottom bone and the socket on top. That's asher ala kaf. What are you talking about? Gemara says, no, avada the yof has a gid and it has a kaf, has asher ala kaf, but the kaf is not ogil. It's flat, it's not round. The only time the Torah prohibits it is if it's ala kaf ha'ogul. So then the Gemara has an ibaya delay of shita. What exactly does that mean? What if you have an abnormal turkey, an abnormal chicken, that does have a kaf ogul? Would you say that in that oaf, you have to check every time? If it has a kaf ogul, then you have to remove the Gid Hanashe from the yoich. Well, let's say you have a behemah v'chayah that has a kaf that's flat. An abnormal behemah v'chayah has a flat kaf. So then you say that the Gidon Nosh of that animal is not awesome in Atar. Maybe it's only awesome in the Rabbah. It won't be an Issa Deraisa because it's flat. But you say, no, that this idea that an oaf has a calf but it's not ogle, and the Behemoth V'chai has and it's ogle, what it means to say is that that's why Gidon Nosh is only in these two minim. It's not in the min Behemoth V'chai, because normally a Behemoth V'chai has a calf ogle, and an oaf normally has a calf she'en ogle. So the whole min of oaf is mufka from the Issa of Gidon Nosh. So the Pashto says that this is the Ibai, the Leif Shita and the Gemara. The problem is that there were other Gemaras that seem to indicate the Feirish, that is the Rashbo and the Rishonim interpret Gemaras, other Gemaras that seem to indicate explicitly that it does depend on the Min. It doesn't depend on the Metzias of the Kafogel. It all depends on the Shema Min. So it's a big problem. When you learn Gidon Nosh, it's a very cheerful parrot. When you learn Gidon Nosh, it's an interesting topic. Pasuk says when he divided up the family, this pasuk in Perek Lamed Gimel, pasuk Bay, is quoted by the Taisus Yontiv in his debate with the Apikoros. He says that a certain Apikoros approached him and asked him, "What are we Orthodox Jews always praying for the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash? Whenever we daven Musaf, we ask Kadosh Baruch to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash." But the Nevi'im said that that's it. The second Beis Hamikdash is called God Liya Kvod Abayit Azeh HaAchron Min HaRishon. So that's it. The Nevi'im called the second Beis Hamikdash Abayit HaAchron. So they're not going to be any more. So the Taisus Yontif in Demai said that he answered the Apikoros by quoting two psukim from Tanakh to indicate that the word Achron doesn't necessarily mean, in modern Hebrew, the word Achron means last. But in biblical Hebrew, the word Achron sometimes means last and sometimes simply means ladder. So here it says, "Vayosim es hashvachas es aldein rishona es lev yiladeo acharonim es rachavat yosef acharonim." So how does it say acharonim by lev yiladeo? They were not the last ones. So obviously, the word acharonim just means afterwards. So gol yakor abayis hazeh acharon min arishon. This, the next base on English, it refers to the second. This latter, based on English, will be more glorious than the first one. But it doesn't mean that it's the last one. There won't be any more based on English. And then he quoted another pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Mos, when Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that Bnei Yisrael wouldn't believe that he was given a nevuah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him an oath, and then he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'hoyim lo yamina l'kol ha'os harishon, v'yamina l'kol ha'os ha'achron." And then he says, "And if they won't listen to that, then I give you another oath." So why was the second one called Oath Acharon? What happened there? What were the oaths over there? The first oath was Matan Nepach Unochash. The hand turned to Sarat.
And then
the water turned to blood. So it says, "Vlei Amidah L'Kol Oath Arishon, Amidah L'Kol Oath Acharon." And if they don't listen to the Kol Oath Acharon, then he gives them a third oath. You see that the word Acharon doesn't mean last. So it's on the second Raya, on the second Hachocha that the Taisis Yontiv in Demai happened to quote, that the Rishon Rebbe, the great Chassidish Rebbe, many generations, a few generations ago, who made a comment on that, that there's a pasuk that says, "V'hoy adam lachem li'os al abatim." The pasuk says that when they brought Pesach Mitzrayim, they had to sprinkle the dam on Shtei HaMezuzos ve'al HaMashko, and then the dam that'll be in on the batim will be an oath that the Bnei Yisrael's batim will not be affected by the negev, by makas b'cheres at chatzi alayla at chatzois of leil pes. So the region is said al derech haremes v'hoya hadam lachem li'os al abatim. The dam, the pasuk, the first oath and the second oath and the third oath. The third oath was the dam, and it says over there achron le'amidah l'kol ha'os achron k'amidah l'kol ha'os arishon minah l'kol ha'os achron. And then there's a third simon after that. The third oath after that was the dam. Adam lachem li'os al abatim, on the batim mikdashim. That there's going to be a third Beis Hamikdash. That is al derech haremes. That's the teretz to the kasha that the Apikoros had presented. It's a famous word. The Rishonim said that wrong. A rem is on that pasuk. So Yaakov Avinu insists he wants to give all of this, the whole gift to Esav, and Esav says he doesn't need it, and Yaakov says please take it. So finally he impresses, he insists, and if he really insists, so he takes this big matana. Katnas b'chosi. So the Bali HaTosis quote that they used to have debates with the Catholics. So they say over here in Pasuk Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Yud, it says, means a present. Please accept my gift. And Pasuk Yud Aleph, who is the chosen nation? The Jews are the chosen nation. Yeah. Since when are the Jews the chosen nation? Because Esav was the Bchor, and he sold the birthright to Yaakov, so we got the Bchor, so we get everything. But then Yaakov gave it back to Esav. So they claim that they, the descendants of Esav, were given, because the Pasuk Yud Aleph says, I give you back the blessings. Yankov got the blessings from Yitzchak that he's going to be Hadek Vili Achecho, that you're going to be the Amal Ivchor, and then Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Kachna is Birchasi, I give you back all the blessings. So that's what the Baal HaTosis quotes, that in their debates with the Catholics, with the Christians, they raise this issue. So they said that's the Baal HaTosis, that's ridiculous. That's not what the Pasuk means. It's just repeating the theme in Pasuk Yud. Kachnas bin Chosi, Kachnas bin Chosi. Chosi doesn't mean the blessing that Yaakov had gotten from Yitzchak. It means the matana that he wants to give. The haraya, that it doesn't fit into the context of the Pasuk. All of their Christological references don't fit in. Maybe in a King James translation it fits in. Maybe you can make a pshat like that. But in the original text it says, Kachnas bin Chosi asher hu vasla. Kachnas b'chosi asha huvasla. How can they refer to the brachas that he got from Yitzchak, that he's giving him back all the brachas? Of course we're the Yaman Yitzchak.
You guys have never shoot
the Pasha Lach, so they say that Esav was one of the brachas. So if you take that, then Yaakov saying take the brachas, and it's another, I'm loaded with you on the brachas, and then that's, I mean, that may have been there. Yeah, yeah. Kachnas b'chas, but it doesn't fit into this Pasha Huvasloch. The rest of the Pasuk doesn't fit into. That's what the Bali HaTosis point is, that this is one of the many issues that they had a debate with the captain.
Didn't they themselves say that you can't give all the
brachos
with just one?
They're right. In every generation, Chol Dovdor had a different pshat.
The first one,
Kenza. Yovo Yaakov Sholem Ir Shechem. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Sholem Begufo, Sholem Amamayna, Sholem Betairotoy. But Pashup Shat, that's the Medrash. Sholem Begufo, Shenisrapi Mitzalata, he wasn't limping anymore. Sholem Betairotoy, Sholem Shachach Talmud of Beis Lavon. Sholem Amamayna, Sholem Chosach Tom Kolosa Doran. It was like a drop in the bucket. Even the $1 million gift that he gave Esav, he had another 50 billion, zillion, trillion dollars. That didn't mean anything. It was Shalom HaMamayin, Shalom HaGuf, Shalom HaTorah, it had everything. It wasn't a problem. But obviously that's not Pashup Shat. So how do you read Pashup Shat? Vayova, maybe it is Pashup Shat. I don't know. But if the Baal HaTosis don't think that that's Pashup Shat. Vayova, Yaakov Sholem Ir Shechem. So the Baal HaTosis say they think that the Pirush HaRashbam is more correct. Sholem is the name of the city. Vayova Yaakov Sholem, and Ir Shechem, you never say, I'm going to the city of Yerushalayim. I'm going to Yerushalayim. Where are you going to go? I'm going to the city of New York. Say, I'm going to New York. You don't say Ir New York, Ir Yerushalayim. So why should it say Ir Shechem? Shechem over here is a man's name, Shechem ben Hamor. And they came, and Yaakov Avinu came to Sholem, which was the city where Shechem lived. What's the significance of identifying that Shechem lived there? Because the next story is going to tell about the tragedy that occurred. And Shechem fell in love with Dinah, and he attacked her. And he took her into his home, and so on. So that's what the Rashbam learns, and the whole group of the Baal HaTosis think that his pshat is more correct. Al pi pshuto shel mikra. Yo, but Yaakov Sholem, He came to the city Sholem, which was the place where Shechem lived. Here Shechem. Vayichan as pneihu ir. Shper a pasuk. Vayichan. Vayichan as pneihu ir. Torah Tzmim quotes from the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel, but Rama Madlikin, the Gemara has three interpretations on the pasuk. He was real Torah madaman. This Vayichan. One shot is that he matbeya tikin lohem, that he set up a monetary system. They were so backward, they were so primitive, they didn't have a monetary system. So Yankov Avinu did them a taiva. He set up a monetary system. That's the question: is it really a taiva or a raw? There are those philosophers who think that money is the source of all evil, and it would be a better world if there wouldn't be any money. If we would just do barter, the Chazon Ish says that it's not correct. Chazon Ish writes in Chelek Yeredei, in Chelek Zroim, he writes that from the fact we discussed it the other day, from the fact that there is a halacha that pidyon ma'aseh has to be done dafka with kesef sheyesh olav tzura, and you can't do pidyon ma'aseh with shavu kesef. Gemara says in Chorot that there are three cases where shavu kesef is not kesef. One is pidyon ma'aseh, one is machzor shekel when you want to fulfill the mitzvah machzor shekel, and the third one is a din midrabbanan. When you want to purchase a carbon oil or three, you have to use dafka kesef. That's exer the rabban. But the other two are the raisa. So the Chazon Ish says, obviously, that can only take place if you have money. Well, it's only if you have such a corrupt society that has this evil institution of cash. No, the Torah is describing that's the proper way to have a world with a monetary system. So Yaakov Avinu came to this community, whatever the name was, either Sholem or Shechem, whatever, however he learned the Pasha Pshat here, and he said they were so primitive, they didn't have anything. So one Pshat in the Gemara is that he instituted a monetary system for them. Another Pshat is they didn't have any bathhouses, they didn't have any showers, no bathtubs, nothing. So he introduced hygiene. He taught them how to wash themselves, how to clean off the body to stay healthier. Another pshat is shvakim tikin lahem. He told them how to make a mall, how to make money, how to have industry, how to have commerce, business, big business. He taught them everything. He was very involved in the outside world. He was very involved, no, and then he got a little too involved in the outside world, and he fell in. His daughter went to university, and then she married a guy. Yeah, that's a big problem. If you're going to have too much to do with the Torah Mado, if you have nothing to do and you're too restricted, you lock your children up in a box, that may backfire. It may have a negative effect, but if you're a little too much, like the expression goes, the person is so open-minded, his brains are falling out. So if a person is just so open that he's doing everything for the outside world, and he's not doing anything for Judaism, for the general society at large, then there's also a chashash sakon. A person has to find a happy balance. Everybody has to find a happy balance. He just stayed there temporarily. He didn't plan to live there for a long time. And nonetheless, he bought the field. Why do you have to buy the field? Why do they have to buy the field? Some Shem say that he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You only fulfill the mitzvah if you buy a karka in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't buy, you only live there temporarily, just passing through, so that's not the complete mitzvah. The complete mitzvah is if you own. That's what they were doing in Europe, before Hakamas Hamdina. Way before, they used to buy apartments in Eretz Yisrael, that when they would retire, they would live there, and they felt that buying the apartment, the Rishonim comment on this possibility, buying the apartment There's already a madrega, it's already a chashivas of Yisha Eretz Yisrael. Other Bali Ataisa say a different shot, that he built a mizbeach, it says, Pasakov, a yatsav shom mizbeach. So when the Ovis Avram and Yitzchak and Yankov on earlier occasions when they built mizbeach, they always used to build mizbachos and have kedikah places where it didn't affect anybody else. But here he's right down the outskirts of the city. They're going to build a mizbeach, so the city may decide to take it down. So he didn't want that to happen. So first he bought the plot, and then he had a right to do whatever he wanted. And then he built the mizbeach. He bought the area in order to be able to build the mizbeach. Vayatzav shom mizbeach. You call it Okel or Okel Yisrael. Shver epsukim. Paraglam Adalit, Pasuk Zayin, the Torah Tmima quotes from the Yerushalmi, the Medrash Rabbah has it also on this Pasuk. The Gemara in Yuma has four psukim shein lahem achreya. There are four psukim, we're not sure exactly where you pause. And the Mela, what the meaning of the Pasuk is. So here is the Yerushalmi has a fifth Pasuk. So B'nei Yaakov bo min asarek yishamam. How are you supposed to read this story? They heard about what happened to their sister when they were still in the field. But Yaakov Bobman saw the kishamam. In other words, they really would have stayed till the end of the day, till 6:30, whatever, the end of the day's work. But when they heard that the sister had been attacked by this Shechem ben Hamor. So they came back right away. Bomen asada kishamam. Those words go together. Oh no, bnei Yaakov bomen asada. They came back at the end of the day. Kishamam by yisyatzu hanosh. When they heard about what happened, then they were very saddened. The mepharshim want to know lemay nafkemina. What's the difference over here? Any other psukim? There's a shaila. Do you read it like this? Do you read it like that? And it's a shaila alacha lemaisa. How are you supposed to make the kaptorim and the givim and the prochim? Is it supposed to be like this? Supposed to be like that? But over here, what's the difference? Ma'ida havaham. So they try to give nafkeminas. But anyway, the Yerushalmi says that there's a pasuk shein lo hachreya. The way we have the truck, bom and asar kishamam goes together. The Gemara has in the first parak in Chagigas a suffix and a certain pasuk. The Gemara says, "My nafkemina lepisik timer." How are you supposed to read the truck? If you're supposed to pause over there, then it's supposed to have one kind of truck. Supposed to pause over there, it's supposed to have a different kind of truck. See, the truck has already been printed in the Chumashim according to that one version. The Boman Asada Kishamam means that they left in the middle of the day. They didn't stay till 6:30. They left at 3:30 because they heard that the sister was in big trouble. Okay. So they said they want very much, he wants very much, Shechem wants to marry the girl. So what was the suggestion of Bnei Yaakov? So he says, let them all be Megayer. Again, let the sister marry a guy, let them be Megayer, and then we'll allow them to marry. If everybody in the whole city is Megayer, so then they go and they wipe them all out. So this is what they had in mind in the very beginning. They had in mind, that's what the simple pshat is. Vayanu b'nei Yaakov b'shchem es chamor avi b'mirmo. That's what it means, b'mirmo, that they just wanted to weaken them so that later on they'd be able to kill everybody. That's the pasha pshat. So what in the world did they have? What did they have the right to kill them for? That's what the Rambam and the Ramban discuss. The Rambam in the end of Hilchas Malachim discusses it, and Rabban Nachum quotes the Rambam, he disagrees on this parsha. How machloek is why? They had made up their minds in advance they're going to kill him. They felt that these people were all chayiv misa. So what was the mirma over here? That they should weaken them. That's what the pasuk said. The mirma means that the pasuk continues to say, Vayibayom ha-shlishi biyosam koavim, and pasuk kafei, they were all weakened. So Shimon v'Levi Achei Dina went and they wiped out the whole city. That's the Pasha of Shad B'Mirma. In Yiddish folklore, the tradition has it, they say a different Pshat, that they wanted them to convert in order that none of the goyim would get excited about it. What do you mean, let's say the Jews are going to go kill the Arabs? They're going to go So they won't even kill the Arabs. They'll allow other Arabs to kill Arabs in Sabra and Shatila. So the whole world is going to scream about it. But let's say the Jews will decide to kill other Jews. So let the Jews kill other Jews. No one's going to care about that. So they wanted, that's what the Dov said, Shah. The Mirma, the Chachma was that they wanted the whole city to convert first. It'll be Jewish. It'll be Jewish. So then they'll wipe out the whole city, so the Goyim will not react. The other Goyim will live in Israel. Who cares? There was so much anti-Semitism. No one's going to react if someone's wiping out some more Jews. That's the classical interpretation of the pasuk. Other Rishonim don't believe that, though. They don't think that that's what it means, the Mirma. The Mirma, they think the Chachma saw. The Targum Okma says the Chachma. They said, look, we don't allow intermarriage. If you convert, you can marry the sister. If you don't convert, not. So they converted, bona fide conversion. And then the prosek says, so a whole group of Balei HaTorah say koavim doesn't mean that they were in pain, physical pain, from the bris milah. Yosam koavim means that they had mental anguish, that they had second thoughts over their conversion, that they had accepted not the worship of Avodah Zarah. That's the main thing of they did the bris milah, but they accepted also to observe all the shevi mitzvahs b'nei nefesh. They said they're going to be Jews. That's the main thing about being a Jew, is that you believe in one God, you're not going to worship Avodah Zarah. And then they had full of Avodah Zarah. They went back to their old ways of worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the B'nai Yaakov felt that since they had gone back to worshipping Avodah Zarah, that's why they killed him later on. They didn't kill him, not like the Rambam or the Ramban, who said because of Averis they had done in past. No. They gave them an aid, said let Shechem convert and he can marry the sister. And they really meant it. They didn't have anything up their sleeves. And then later on the Pasuk says, the Yosam Klavim, when they saw that they had Charot and they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, then they felt that they chayav Misa at that time. That's what a group of Balei HaTosfos give shot. They claim that there are, I didn't look it up, they claim that there are Psukim, or one or two Psukim in Tanakh, where the verb ka'ev appears in connection with worshipping Avodah Zarah. That it doesn't mean physical pain, it means mental anguish.
What do you
do with the Mirma? The Targum Onkelos on the Mirma says b'chochma. We usually say Mirma means a sly, clever trick. The Targum says it doesn't mean that, b'chochma. Rashi quotes the Targum Onkelos, the Mirma means b'chochma. But it says that they went to the city and they wiped everybody out. It's a very strange pasuk. And pasuk kafay, then it says they killed them too. If it says that they killed all the men, so obviously they killed Shechem and Chamor also. Why does it have to repeat it? It says in pasuk kafay vayargu kol zachor. The pasuk chavav, he repeats the same thing. The pshul like this can always has a charit. He says the pshat is like this. He learns the pshat b'yosam kovim the way most of the rishonim learn pshat, the way the gemara seems to say b'yosam kovim, that the first 3 days after a person has a bris milah, the person is weak, at least by an adult. Even by a baby also, we consider the baby as in a state of suffix hakana for the first 3 days. Even though apal pishen ra'il adov zechadov, how come it's not an absolute right? Because maybe by adults it's a bigger sakana. By babies maybe it's much less of a sakana. It heals quicker. The fact is that it does heal quicker. So nonetheless, that's the pasuk shot. They were in pain. So the pasuk says they didn't have to put up any war. They didn't have to fight. They just went into the city, and all the men were weak. So it says they killed all the men. But Shechem and Chamor, they had done bris milah earlier. It says, so his 3 days were up already. So he was ready. He went back to his strength. So when they came to his home and they wanted to get their sister out, so they were resisting. They were giving Bnei Yaakov a hard time. That's why he says in Pasuk Chavav, Lifi Chorev. Rav Shulei Diskin claims that the expression in Tanakh, Lifi Chorev, always has a connotation of Mochama, the Shas Mochama. So in Pasuk Chavhei, Vayarv, Kol Zachar, doesn't say Lifi Chorev. There was no war because there was no opposition. They were so weak they couldn't fight back. But in Pasuk Chavav, if Kosh Shechem and Chamor had already done the milah before everybody else. Well, Echar Anar, Pasuk Yutas, it says. So he had already recuperated, so he gave them a hard time. And then the pasuk says that they had a fight with him, and then then they took the sister. Otherwise, if the sister wouldn't have been there, he would have walked away. What did they have to go fight everybody? They have to go kill Shechem and Hamor? Enough that they wiped out the whole city. Why do they have to wipe out Shechem and Hamor? Because she was there in his house, and they went to get to free the sister, and they wouldn't let her out. There is a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch about, let's say you have a baby who couldn't have the meal of his manos. If you have the meal of his manos, so you do the meal, even if it turns out to be Shabbos, even if it turns out to be Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, whatever it is, you do the meal of his manos. It may turn out that they may have to be Mechal Shabbos, the baby may be B'sakon. So if you have to be Mechal Shabbos later, you have to be. But right now, if it looks like there's no problem, you do the bris milah, so that you're allowed to do. The question is, what if the bris had to be postponed? There is supposed to have a bris, the meal of his manna should have been on Sunday, and then the doctor said you got to postpone a couple of days, so then you're not allowed to do the meal of shlebi's manna on Shabbos. So are you allowed to do the meal of shlebi's manna on Thursday or Friday, knowing well in advance that the baby may be b'sakana in the first 3 days, and you may have to turn out to be mechal Shabbos to do some medical treatment on Shabbos? So there's one opinion that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber quotes this, I think, from one of the Rishonim, that you're not allowed to do a Mila Shleib Bizmano on Thursday, Friday, or Shabbos, or 2 days before Yom Tov. And others disagree, and they say that that's ridiculous. Ruba the Ruba of the Poskim disagree. They say that that's ridiculous. What do you mean when you have a Mila Shleib Bizmano? Whenever you have to postpone the Mila, so the first available opportunity you have to do right away, not allowed to postpone it to a day later. What do you mean? Don't do the Mila Shlobis Man on Thursday, Friday. Don't do it on Shabbos, that's a din, it's not the Shabbos. But don't do it on Thursday, Friday, because it may get you involved in a Sofek Sakana of Chilu Shabbos. If you'll be a Sofek Sakana, so you'll do whatever you have to do. But you should do the Mila. That's how most of the poskim hold by God. That a Mila Shlobis Man may be done, it must be done, even on Thursday, Friday. But let's say it's not a case of Mila Shlobis Man. Let's say a goy wants to convert. He can't say he's obligated to do the bris milah as soon as possible. He's not obligated to do anything. Let him convert after Shabbos. He has to be Jewish on Shabbos Parshas Vayishlach. So he'll be Jewish on Shabbos Parshas Vayishlach. So he waited so long. He'll wait another 3 days. So then that's more of an argument that you shouldn't do the milah shel geirus on a Thursday or Friday or 2 days before Yom Tov. That's more of an argument.
It's the only marker of Kibbutz Yom or Shabbos from the first Shabbos.
The 3 days before Shabbos, that's another Gemara. No, but this is a Gemara that 3 days after the Bris Milah, the baby is the Sakana.
The notion that you're not allowed to do something before Shabbos.
Yeah.
Before Shabbos.
To put yourself into a Sofek Sakana, right.
And that's what you yourself said, that for a mitzvah, it's okay.
Right.
So if you want to interpret the Gemara as saying the reason for not being mafresh because of
Sakana,
it's not everyone,
but
even if you do, that doesn't apply.
Right, right. They have a whole discussion of that, whether the Gemara necessarily indicates or not. Right. If you don't learn the Gemara, if you learn the Chashash over there, some other Chashash, but if it's Machnas Asim, Machnas Shalchi, it's Isurim, then it's not even Mutar, even Mokam Mitzvah. It's a different shot in the Gemara. Gemara says you're not allowed to go on a trip on the sea on the 2 days before Shabbos, on Thursday and Friday. What about Wednesday? No, Machlekes. But it means 3 days before Shabbos, or it means no, 2 days before Shabbos is Shabbos. Machlekes in the Rishonim, whether it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Thursday and Friday. So there are different Shatim in the Rishonim. So the Baal HaMor learns that that's the reason why, because you may get involved in Chashash Sakon on Shabbos, and they may request of all of the passengers on the ship to help do Malachas on Shabbos in order to save everybody's life. Nira Kimasna L'Chalas Hashem. Another Rishonim learned different Shatim in there, not Gemara. They have quite a few interpretations of that Gemara. Why you're not allowed to go? Why you're not allowed to go on a boat trip Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? Many years ago, the Lubavitcher Rebbe published the Tshuva in Hapardes, 35 years ago, about elective surgery. Or even if it's not elective surgery, that let's say the person is really a chayla mesukan, he has cancer. and they have to give him surgery. He can either do the surgery on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So he said that's the same as that Gemara, Alfi Pashtus. That the Rishonim have another pshat in that Gemara. Some the Balamor learns pshat, you're not allowed to go on a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos because Nira Kimas Machalas on Shabbos. And other Rishonim say because he may be seasick. It takes about 3 days till you get used to the traveling on the boat. The first 3 days may be throwing up, and if in the first 3 days he's going to have Shabbos or Yantiv, so he will not be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Einik Shabbos or Simchas Yantiv. So that's what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said. If a person can have his surgery taken care of either in the first half of the week or the second half of the week, so the proper thing is that you should not have it taken care of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Unless it's such surgery that they only do the end of the week. They don't want to do it otherwise. If they go fly a kite, they're not going to do it. You have no choice. You have no choice. But whenever it's possible to avoid it, the proper thing is to have surgery done at the beginning of the week. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, Kum Alei Beisel, the Shev Shom. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash on Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Aleph, Kum Alei Beisel, Medrash Tanchum, Lefi Sheicharta Baderech Ne'enashto, Ubolu Chazos Mibitecho. So the Medrash has more about this. That on his way, his wife dies. His wife Rachel dies. So the Medrash says, why did she die? Because Vavon Nedarim Ishto Shalot HaMeisa. Gemara in the second parak in Shabbos quotes a pasuk in Koheles, on Mishlei. What does it say? Koheles. That a person should be careful when he takes a neder. Lama yikach mishkav chomitachtecha. Some kind of a lashon like that. So the Gemara interprets what it means is that if a person pledges to give money and he doesn't fulfill his pledge, and then his wife may die. Why should he die? Akash. But that's what the Gemara comments on the pasuk. His wife may die. So the Medrash here, the Mishnah Lamelech, has a whole discussion of this Medrash in the Sefer Parashas Drach. The Medrash here has a Chiddush Nifla. Even if the person ultimately does observe, does fulfill his neder, but he postpones fulfillment of the neder in such a way that he's in violation of Bal Piachet, what's the Achad HaShalmai. So what's the halacha? Let's say a person pledged to bring a korban, he pledged to give tzedakah, and it takes him 3 years till he finally does it. It's not that he says he's going to pay it up in 3 years. He took a neder stam, and he's in violation of Bal Tiachel. So do you say Bal Tiachel is a separate Easter? He's not in violation of Bayachel. He's not in violation of Motzah Sechot Tishmar. He has fulfilled the neder. It took him 5 years. But ultimately he did it before he died. He did it B'Gilgul Zev, like B'Gilgul Acha, so he was Yetzir the neder. It was just in violation of Bal Tiachel. Maybe I should say no, that the Chumash of L'Seach L'Shalmai, the Pasuk of L'Seach L'Shalmai is Kaveya, that's whenever you didn't say any Zman, that is the Zman for fulfillment of the neder. And if the person doesn't fulfill his Nidrei Mitzvah, he doesn't fulfill his Nidrei Tzedakah, Nidrei Gavoya, Nidrei Karbonis, within the Sholosh Regalim, or within the Zman of Bal Tiachet, whatever it happens to be, so then not only is he in violation of Bal Tiachet, it's the equivalent of having violated the whole Neder, as if he didn't fulfill a Neder. So why in the world should anybody in his right mind say that? We don't know. The Rambam writes like that. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs writes like that. The Yad HaChazaka doesn't write. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs writes that if a person was in violation of Bal Tiachet, so it's considered as if he was in violation of Motzos of Sechot Tishmar, as if he's violated the whole Neder. And the Ramban is Mastik. The Ramban has Hasogas on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And he says, what is he talking about? He never heard of this. And the Ramban even says there's a Gemara against the Rambam. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah where it says, yeah, what the Gemara is drasha? Liyeh b'chalchei. Vayik yisech la linda liyeh b'chalchei. So the Gemara says liyeh b'chalchei v'lo b'yishto chalchei. What's the drasha? B'chalchei v'lo b'yishto chalchei. So the Ramban seems to have understood that Gemara, the Sfasemis, and that Gemara Rosh Hashanah writes like that on his own. He doesn't even refer you back to the Ramban. He writes that that's the Pasuk Pshat in the Gemara. And that's obviously what the Ramban is alluding to, that the Gemara is darshaning from the Pasuk Vahoya B'chochei. No, it's a Pasuk in Dvarim. How does it say? You see the letter of Hashem Kechel, I say, after the Shem Kedar, she did Hashem Kechel, Imach, Bahai Bechachet, something like that. So the Gemara says, Bahai Bechachet, Velo Beishtachachet. What does that mean? That if you don't pay up the net at all, then Bavan Adar Mishta Mesa. But if he ultimately does pay up the net, but he was in violation of Lo Siachir, so then it's not a violation of the whole mitzvah of Neder, it's a violation of Lo Siachir. And then it says, Bechachet, Velo Beishtachachet. That will not affect the wife because violation of Baal Tiachir is not the equivalent of a violation of the Neder. So that's what the Ramban is Masig on the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah. How can he say that? So the Mishnah Melech writes in his Drush Sefer and Parashas Drachim, he says, you're right that you have a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that's against the Rambam. But he says, you have the Medrash on this Parsha says that why is it that Rachel died on the way back to Eretz Yisrael? So the Medrash says the Farish, because Yaakov Avinu had violated Lo Siachir, had violated Baal Teachir in connection with the Neder. He took a Neder, Heaven has us or something, Matseva, Yev, Beis HaMikim, he's going to make a Mizbech, going to make a Beis HaMikdash, and he didn't do it. And Hashem tells him, Kum Alei Beis HaMikdash, Asei Shem Mizbech, you promised, Asei Shem Mizbech, you promised going to make a Mizbech. And he was Ma'achir, so the Medrash continues to say, Rashi doesn't quote the whole Medrash, the Medrash continues to say that that's why Rochel died. In other words, Ishto is Meisa. That the violation of Baal Tiachir is the equivalent of bitul of the whole mitzvah of the Neder of Motzos and Sechet Tishma V'Yatzisa. So the Mishnah Melech claims that it's a machlokes amoraim, machlokes satanoim. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs adopted why he did that. We don't know. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvah adopted the view of this of the Medrash on this topic. The Gemara has a din that Avodah Zarah is metame mid the Rabbanon. It's not a din min haTorah. But the Torah Tmima on this Pasuk Lamed Hey, Pasuk Beis, quotes from the Smag that the Pasuk already alludes to the Tumas Avodah Zarah. Vayomer Yaakov al Beis v'kol asher imo hasiros al hei anecha shebeseichachem v'hitaharu v'hachalifu simu l'sech. What's the hitaharu? They should be metar themselves from the Tumas Avodah Zarah. So it's an interesting thing. The Revit Azov has this. This mocker he got from the Revit Azov. This smug. The Ritvo in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah has an interesting comment. He says in the name of his, he has a tradition from his Rabbeisov that when they have a Dinder Rabbanon, you have an Asnachta in the Chumash. An Asnachta doesn't just mean a mnemonic device that will help you in remembering the Din. It really means that that was really the intention of the author. When the Rabbanu Shalom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter, he had hidden meanings there also. Some of the hidden meanings are the Raises, some of the hidden meanings are the Rabbanon. So sometimes you have an Asmachta, sometimes the Gemara says Asmachta B'Yalma. But the Pimgorim says that's only the Zichron V'Zikorim B'Yalma. But if it's not an Asmachta B'Yalma, it's an Asmachta Hashuva, then the Ritvo says in Rosh Hashanah and Dap Tezayin, that was really the Kavanah Sater. So here also, the Chachamim in many generations later, the days of the Bai Shein of a Geyser, that anybody who handles Dovah Shel Avodah Zarah becomes Tamei. But you see, already in the days of Yaakov Avinu, they were Medaktik on the Hitaru. Bachalitha Simla Sechem, they were Medaktik on the Inyanim of Tumas Avodah Zarah. See that there is, it's not time when they're about to make up a din, it's mamish from thin air, they invent a new din. Like today, when the rabbis want to make up something new in Gansan. Instead of having, three matzahs on Pesach night, they have a fourth matzah for Russian Jewry. What's the fourth Russian matzah for Russian Jewry? Well, they have, instead of Arba Kaisers, they're going to have a fifth Kais for whatever, for Pollard. Get Pollard out of prison. What does it got to do with Arba Kaisers? Freedom. What does it got to do with this? This is Gulas Yisrael. This is a man. It's anti-Semitism. So what's the Shaykhus? Or they compose that they call upon a rabbi to say the benediction at the graduation or the benediction in the Senate. They make up Our Father who art in heaven, some kukyat and mamish yesh meyayin some. But the Tanoim and the Amoraim, they made up, they didn't make up, they didn't pull it out from thin air. They pulled it out from the Torah itself. They were pulling out things that already existed. They were bringing out ideas, like over here. That's not my rem is the Alma. You see that the concept existed. Called the Tikkur Rabban and came the Raisa Tikkun. That's the way he's supposed to. He's supposed to make up. He's supposed to institute Dinim the Rabbanon in such a way that they should have a kiyum. They should have a kiyum, not a kiyum that it should last. A kiyum means that there should be a kiyum amitzah. There should be a meaning and significance. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to make fun of, years ago, still out of Yamazet, but he used to make fun of the way the Rabbanut encourages everybody to observe Yom HaTzmut. Such a hodgepodge. You take a little from over here, a little from over there, you sing Al-Khadaydi, and this. The whole thing is a joke. Make a joke about the whole religion. He has this in several of his essays, that he makes fun of the ceremonialization of Judaism. It's like Avodah Zarah Lahavdil. They don't have any mitzvahs, they don't have tayag mitzvahs, so they have to make up, they have to invent ceremonies. We don't have to invent anything. Well, we have kiyumin, we have dinim. That's what he used to complain. What do you mean, the Seder night? We don't have any ceremonies. Every step of the way, this is this, and this is this, and this is matzah, and or is the rabbon, and this is the takon, and has seba. The chamim made takon, is just dumb to institute things that are of no meaning whatsoever. That's what everybody's doing. It's not right. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, "Leikari al Shimcha Yaakov, Kim Yisrael Yishmecha." So the Medrash quotes the kasha that the Matronisa asked one of the Chachamim, the Goyisha woman asked one of the rabbis, "How come when Avram Avinu's name was changed from Avram to Avram, so we don't use the old name anymore? And when Yaakov Avinu's name was changed from Yaakov to Yisrael, we continue to use the old name?" So he gave it a simple answer. I think the Mashur says that answer at the end of the first parak in Brachos. The Gemara points out this distinction at the end of the first paragraph. And the Medrash on this pasuk says, the Matrinis Neyes Kwan and the Chacham. So the Chacham said, the big difference. Avram's name before, he was a Goy. So after he converted, it's not proper to continue using, what are you going to call him, Christopher? John? Jesus? My super's name is Jesus. So if he decides, if the moron decides to convert, so you're going to call him Jesus? What kind of a lashon for a Jewish boy? What kind of a name is that for a Jewish boy? So you're not allowed to use Hashem Goyis after you convert. But Yankee was Jewish when he was born, so what do you have to change the name? So obviously the name he saw was given in addition to the name Yankee. That's what Tosfos writes in Maseches Gittin. The Mishnah says in Gittin that Rabbi Gamliel made a takana. When you write a get, you have to have Kol Shuma Chanicha Dizbe. So the Balei HaTosfos had a machlokes with the Chachmei Sfarad, what that means. So the Chachmei Sfarad, the Sfarad, not Ayom Hazeh, they have the practice. They write the husband's name, and then they write V'chol Shum L'chanicha Dislei. And then they write Pliny, Ben Pliny, and they write the father's name, V'chol Shum L'chanicha Dislei. Whatever other nicknames he happens to have. Then they write his divorcing his wife, Rachel, V'chol Shum L'chanicha Dislei. Bas, Elio, V'chol Shum L'chanicha Dislei. That's the way write that Lashon, V'chol Shum L'chanicha Dislei. So the Balei HaTosfos is saying, what do you mean? What do you write Koshem? No! It means you have to spell out the nicknames. You don't write, and whatever other names he goes under. Whatever aliases he goes under. No, you say Jacob, who's known as Jake, who's known as Yaakov, right? Whatever the nicknames happen to be. Yiddish names, English names, French name, whatever. You write all the aliases. And you don't write that Loshen Choshen Mechanech Dislei. So then the Rabbi Natan wants to know, they had, during the period of the Balei HaTosfos, they had the Crusades. So every so often they would pressure Jews into converting, and then the wife who didn't want to convert wanted to get, so the husbands would divorce their wives sometimes over religious matters when the husband became a Catholic and the wife remained Jewish, or the reverse. So the Shiloh of the Balei HaTosfos was, when you have to write, you have to spell out all the names. So this Jew used to be go under the name Yankel, and now he just became Jesus. Now he just changed his name. So you write that into the get, you write Yankel, Hamachuna Jesus. That's how you write. So Rabbi Natan says, Chas v'shalom lahachnes shem goyis b'das Moshe v'Yisrael. Chas v'shalom, you're not allowed to do that. How can you put in the goyish name? The name that he had after he became a meshumet. Why? That's based on this medrash. We don't want to have the goyish name. We just want to have the Jewish name. That's why you're not supposed to use the name Avram. That was a goyish name. The name Yankif, he was Jewish when he got the name Yankif. That's, I think, the Mashur says that answer at the end of the first perek in Brachos, if I'm not mistaken. Balei HaTosfos all have an interesting comment. I don't know where it comes from. It says, when Rachel died, she named the baby Vatikra Shmo Ben Oni, and the father called him Binyamin. The other called him Binyamin. So the Balei HaTosfos, they ask Galoshin, they ask Mitzvah L'Kayem Divrei Hanes, that the mother of the baby called him Benoni. So why did the father change the name? He should have observed the wishes of his wife. Mitzvah L'Kayem Divrei Hanes. That question, Mitzvah L'Kayem Divrei Hanes, and the Gemara in Gittin Yud Gimel only applies to Dini Momenis. Some Rishonim say the Beferish like that. Doesn't apply anything that somebody wanted and he dies. But others hold the Beferish not so. So this is what they ask. So they say, Enachinami. No. He was always known as Benoni. But then, when Yaakov Avinu became an old man and he needed somebody to help him walk, he didn't have a cane, so he needed somebody to lean on. So he used to lean on his youngest child, Binyamin. The others were all married. And Binyamin was the last one to get married. He was younger than the others. So he used to serve as his right hand man, Benyamin. The Gemara has such a lashon. The woman is unable to, let's say a woman is married and she has no children, and they ascertain that it's the fault of the husband. He can't have children, she can. And she wants to remarry. So what does she want? What does she want to remarry for? Why does she want to marry somebody else? Because she hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of Pirei Berei. So the Gemara says, you tell me, you're not mechuyev. You're not mechuyev to fulfill Pirei Berei. So why should you want to get divorced? Remain married to your husband. So the only time you'll try to encourage the husband to give her a get is if she's bore b'taina, if she comes with a taina, namely, that she says, b'ino chutru liyado umora l'tvura. She wants a karashel, as the Yiddish expression goes. She wants a chutru liyado, she wants a cane to walk with, means she wants to have a child to take care of her in her old age. And she wants mora l'tvura, she wants a shovel to bury her, means after she dies, she wants a karashel. Someone should say karash after her. So then if she has such a taina, so then the bezdin will try to either appease her or try to convince the husband to give her a get. They'll try to figure out some makes of what to do. But if the woman says she wants to get divorced because her husband can't have any children, she wants to fulfill the mitzvah of Pirei Berei, so the bezdin should tell her that you're not obligated. So don't break up the marriage over that. So that's what the Rishonim quote over here, the Balei HaTosfos say, just like Gemara has a lashon, chutru liyado, that people want to have children in order to have somebody to take care of them in their old age. So that's what happened over here to Yaakov Avinu. All the earlier years of Binyamin, Hitaka called him Benoni, the mother called him Ratikolo Benoni, said the father called him Benoni. When Yaakov Avinu became, he was an old man already, he was in his 80s now, when he became even older, and he needed somebody to lean on, and the youngest child around the house was Binyamin, all the others had already gotten married, so then, Aviv Korolo Binyamin, he's my right hand man, he's the Ben Yemini. Rashi doesn't say like that. Rashi says the Fisha Nolad Bidroma Shal Eretz Yisrael. How is that Ben Yemini? Fisha Nolad Bidroma Shal Eretz Yisrael. See, when we look at maps, so the Tagmukula says on that, in Hasmol, if you go to the south, the Amino, in Hasmol, if you go to the north, I'll go to the south. In Mayamin, if you go to the south, I'll go to the north. How come that's called the north and the south? See, by us on a map, we have north on top. We have east to the right and west to the left. That's only conventional. That's only conventional for the last few hundred years. Years ago, they also used to draw maps, and traditionally, they used to make east on the top. You can make north on the top. You can make whatever you want. You can make north on the bottom. Who says there's no halacha mishmashim? Who says the north has to be on top? So traditionally, years ago, by the goyim also, nothing to do with Mizrah, nothing to do with Jews. On the goyishim maps that they had from years ago, north was to the left and the south was to the right. So whenever you speak of the Yamin, whenever you speak what's to the right, you ask a child, what's to the right? East. What's on top is north. What's to the left is west. And in the days of Tanakh it was not so. To the right hand side was the south. So just like the Targum Unkel says, I'm not supposed to give my small Yamin and my Yamin Vasmilos, it means if you go to the north, you go to the south. So that's over here also, Rashi says. He was called Binyamin Lefishanarla Bidroy Mashal Eretz Yisrael. He's born in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. But the Balei HaTosfos said, don't say like that. They say because he was Benyamin, he was the right hand of Yaakov Avinu when he was old and decrepit and needed someone to walk with him in the street and didn't have a cane. He was his chutru liyada. He was his cane. His wife died and he buried her. Who was buried in Kever Rachel? Yeah, he was buried in Gwen's tomb. So Rachel was buried in Kever Rachel, and he made a matzeva also. And the Pasuk says, in this Pasuk we see that the Baal is mechuyev not only because Ishta is mechuyev to spend money on the matzeva also. That the El Chipo doesn't want to make a matzeva. He says, bad enough that he had to spend so much money for the funeral, doesn't want to make a matzeva. So the Pasuk says, see from the Chumash, that's required. That's the proper cover. He doesn't have to spend, doesn't have to make a golden matzeva with marble and rubies and emeralds or whatever, but he has to make such an acceptable matzeva that kifi minig amdina. I would think at the time of the kibbutz. Yeah. By himself, if it'll turn out, yeah. Kiev, I think, is only chal at the time of the kibbutz. I think so. So he gets richer, he gets poorer. So wealthy people spend more on matzevahs than poor people do. So it all depends. The shas when he's making the matzevah. In Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Pasuk lists off the children of Eliphaz. Vayu ben Eliphaz, Teiman, Omar, Svo, Begatam, Luknaz. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 children. And the Rishonim asked that in Divrei Hayamim it says that he had another child, Timnah. Here it says Timnah was his wife. Next Pasuk, the Timnah, Hoysofi Le'egesh, Eliphaz ben Esau. It was Mrs. Eliphaz was Timnah. And there in Divrei Hayamim it says that Timnah was his son. So the Rashbam has this fantastic comment that the Rishonim and the Achronim have a whole discussion on, that sometimes in Tanakh you have a pasuk Yud Beis begins with the word Timnah, and we read it as if it were written twice. Pasuk Yud Aleph reads Vayu Bnei Eliphaz Teiman Oymat Svo V'Gatam U'Kanaz V'Simnah, and then you read it again V'Simnah Hoysa Pilegesh. He had Timnah was one of his sons, that was the sixth son, and Timnah was also the name of his girlfriend. So the Baal HaTosfos give other mishalim. They start floating around psukim and gemaras, where you have other psukim in Tanakh, and Aksava Kabbalah has more mishalim to this. In fact, the Baal HaTosfos say that's why there's a psuk in Pasuk Yud Beis. There's a line over there, means that you're supposed to pause in between. What do you have to pause for? To show that it really belongs a little bit to the end of the previous pasuk as well as to this pasuk. As if you read it twice. The Gemara in Kiddushin, in the end of the first parak, has something like that on the pasuk. Pnei seva tokum v'hadarta, tokum v'hadarta pnei zokin. You read those two verbs in the middle. Tokum v'hadarta are verbs. So you read the two verbs as if they're written twice. Pnei seva tokum v'hadarta, tokum v'hadarta pnei zokin. That's in one pasuk. Here it's in two pasukim. But they have other mishalim. The Ksav HaKabbalah has other mishalim. Once the Rashbam already brought our attention to the comparing the psukim here with the names that appear in Divrei Hayamim, so the Vilna Gaon had a problem also. If you compare the names with the names that appear in Divrei Hayamim, you get problems with the Dishon and the Dishon and the Dishon. The names are all different over there. So what's going on? Yeah, that's already in Shvi, towards the end of the parsha. Eile ben Eiseir Achori. Loitan Shevol Tzivon Anor. Dishon is the fifth son. Eiseir Dishon is the seventh son. He had two sons, daughters, whatever. I don't know. It doesn't say sons or daughters. It says child number 5 was Dishon. Child number 7 is Dishon. Then when you look right, there, it says it's not consistent. And then the Pesukim Divrei Hayamim also not consistent. So the Vilna Gaon says, no. He says it depends. Whatever it's an asnachta, so it becomes Dishon. Whatever it's not an asnachta, the name changed. You can call him either Dishon or Dishon. And in the psukim, it'll depend whether you're holding by an asnachta. And then he had another son whose name was always, or an enikol whose name was always Dishon. Whether it's with an asnachta or without an asnachta. But these two sons, child number 5 and child number 7, their name fluctuated. Depending on the mood. Shlomo of Vilna also has a psalot harichas on the Dishon and the Dishon. I think he also has a part of the Vilna Gaon. More. The Sefer Revir Azov, it's by Dayan in Vilna. So he was the Kof Lichtim in Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer all the time. So he points out that at the end of the parsha, Eila Malachim Shalmachal B'yedim, the eight Malachim. But name Malach Malach was Bnei Yisrael before Bnei Yisrael had Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Melach. Maybe Shulam Melach, the Rishonim say means it's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. So these were the eight kings who were serving as kings in Edom before Moshe Rabbeinu came on the scene. So these kings are sometimes described, they're sometimes identified by the city they came from, sometimes identified by their father. Husham Eret HaTeimani. And sometimes they're described by their father's name, Balchanon ben Achdor. And sometimes they're described by both, Pliny ben Pliny, Meir Pliny. What's another one? Shol Merchoves Anor, just his name, doesn't have the father's name, just has the city. And some of them have Bela ben Bior, B'shem Miro din Hovo, Yogav ben Zerach, Mi Batsron. So how come you have three different ways? So the Revir Azov is a dying, so he quotes from Ebenezer and Hilchus Gittin. That when you write the man's name, today we don't speak like that. But in Europe, that's where they always speak like Rabbi Ram. Rabbi Ram, Rabbi Yeshiva, is known as, he was known as Shimon Visaka, because he came from the city, Visak, or whatever the name of the city was. Or people were known by the city that they came from. They didn't have family names. A lot of times they didn't have family names. Even when they had family names, they would be known by the city that they came from. So some people, let's say, oh, this man's father was so famous, they didn't have to call him by the name of the city that he came from. This is Pliny, Ben Pliny, and everybody knew who he is. And other people, they never heard of his father, so they called him Shimon Visaka. And other people were famous both because of their father's name and because of the city that they came from. So in Hilchus Gittin, the Acharonim write that when you write a get, you say Pliny, Ben Pliny, the husband's name and the wife's name. So today we don't do it because we don't call people by the names of the cities anymore. But years ago, already in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, I think the Mechaber says they don't do it anymore. But years ago, in the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Rishonim, they used to identify by the city. So the Achrayim, so the Poskim say it depends. If the man is known by Pliny ben Pliny, his father's a famous individual, then just write Pliny ben Pliny. Why do you have to write the name of the city? If no one knows who his father is, but they know what city he comes from, he goes by that name, then you write Shimon Visaka. And if neither is too strongly known, then you write Shimon ben Yaakov Meir Visaka. So the Revir Azov says that the pattern that everything is based on are the psukim here at the end of Vayishlach, that you have all three kinds. Sometimes the father's name, and sometimes the city, and sometimes both the father's name and the city. A lot of the Rishonim quotes on Medrash, I don't know exactly where this, I didn't look so hard, I don't know where the Medrash is. Some Rishonim quoted the beginning of the parasha, some quoted the end of the parasha, that there was no reason in the world that Edom should have had eight malachim. This was a punishment to Yaakov Avinu that he said eight times, Adoni Esau. He was too worried about the pachat from Esau. There's nothing to be afraid of. And every time he said Adoni, so in Hashemayim there were goyzer that they're going to have another Adam, they're going to have another king. So since he said Sachakol eight times Adoni Esau, he was punished. Sometimes you have to chant for the Umas Oilam, you have to give them atonis, and you have to bow down to them, and you have to speak to them with their cherets and covet, and sometimes not. It all depends whether there's a real chashas takona or not. So Yaakov Avinu apparently assessed the situation wrongly. The Gemara says, let's say you have a chodesh eish b'sakona, and someone runs to get medication on Shabbos, Mechal Shabbos, and then it turns out that the chayla already got better. And this guy was running hours and hours after, he's running around Mechal Shabbos all day long. So the Gemara says, Lefi Havanah, so he thought that there's a chodesh eish b'sakon. So Pekuach Nefesh was doing everything, because he thought that there's a Pekuach Nefesh. But if he would have realized that there's no Pekuach Nefesh, then there wouldn't have been any heifer. So Lefi Havanah, so Lefi Aniyus Daita of Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu assessed the situation wrong. He thought that he better come for Esau. He was afraid of the schools of Eretz Yisrael, the schools of Kibbutz, and the Yodei, and he's so powerful and so strong, he better give in, he better call him Adoni Esav. And the Medrash says, Lamaise, it wasn't so, that he was overcautious, and there was really not such concern. He should have just forgotten about him and not given him any Kibbutz. The mother told him to come back. They should have come back to Eretz Yisrael. The coast is clear. So his Einish was, part of the Einish was that he broke his leg. And the part of the Einish was, Elam Lachem Shemachal B'Yad. That's why the Goyim had the 8 kings unnecessarily. On Sunday there's regular shir, I think, no? Tomorrow, no. This building is locked tomorrow, so whoever wants to learn should...